Kim Weaver is Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. The January meeting happening despite the snow yesterday. And you took up a topic, Kim, that a lot of agencies are working with, and that is enterprise risk assessment and management. What does enterprise risk assessment mean for the Thrift Savings Plan, Kim? Thanks.
Well, we have a relatively new office that was established about 2 years ago, and it's the Enterprise Risk Management Office. And we are looking at enterprise risk in a number of ways. We have developed an internal control team. We have an internal audit team and an enterprise risk management team. And this what we talked about yesterday with our board was an output of looking at what our risks are to the agency and to our participants and what we're doing to affect those risks, because obviously if there's a risk, we're not just sitting back. And then what risks remain, and the term that's used is residual risks. And so we have some medium high and medium risks that we are focused on, and we are already addressing, obviously, but we want to continue to work on those to see if we can reduce the residual risk below where it is now.
What exactly comprises a risk for the Thrift Savings Plan? What are some examples of the things that you talked about in the meeting?
Well, I mean, a high one for almost any organization in the country is information technology security, for example. That's a risk. It's not like we're not doing anything, but nonetheless, when you've got the personal information of 4.7 million people, we want to be doing everything we can. We have, for example, our risk management maturation, the growth of this process inside our agency is a risk because we see that as something that's important to the agency, something that's important to the plan and our participants, that we're able to take a mature and thoughtful look at this and make sure we're identifying the right risks and all the risks because we wouldn't want to be going through all this and then missing the ones that that are really going to come up and bite us. And bite our participants. So those are the kinds of things we're looking at. It's very across the board. It's big picture, you know, health of our supply chain. We have BlackRock manages our funds, and we want to make sure that BlackRock is doing everything it needs to be doing and that it's a healthy organization, which it certainly is. I hasten to reassure everybody. But again, we have a record keeper, the people who help us keep the information for our 4.7 million participants, want to make sure that they're strong and secure as well.
So I'm going to imagine that the stakeholders that are involved in that risk assessment would be, I mean, I imagine BlackRock is involved. I imagine Greg Long and your executive leadership team are involved. I imagine that the board is involved. Are there other stakeholders that are involved in making sure that you have that comprehensive risk picture that you want, Kim?
We've started internally. You mentioned BlackRock. I mentioned BlackRock. We haven't reached out to them yet.
Okay.
We happen to know, because we've done an assessment of BlackRock recently, that they have an excellent risk posture themselves. They are very proactive in terms of business continuity and all the sort of compliance efforts that you would expect of a firm like that. But because we're new at this, this is, as I said, an office we've stood up in the last 2 years. We started with the board and Greg, our executive director, and the senior leadership at the agency. And the questions we sort of asked ourselves was, what keeps us up at night? What do we go to bed thinking if something was going to break? And then we sort of did more research. We didn't just stop at a gut check, but what more research? And then we looked at what are we working on? Where are we putting our resources? So presumably, if we're doing things right, we're putting our resources toward things that are going to help on risks and or improve services for the participants. And so that was sort of the background that we used to develop this list and figure out how to move forward in terms of managing these risks and reducing these risks.
Kim Weaver is Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. What's the next step in your assessment of your enterprise risk posture, Kim?
Well, then we're going to do exactly what you said. We're going to start reaching a little more broadly, talking to our vendors. We're going to be looking at our policies and procedures. It sounds incredibly boring, and for those of them who have to write it, it may be, but it's very important to know what your policies and procedures are, because if you're missing a gap, right, your procedure says do A, B, C, and E, and your procedures don't talk about D, well, that's where something could go wrong, because the next person you hire doesn't know that. Someone's out sick, and they look at the procedures, and they don't realize they're supposed to do that. So we're using that as a way to help us reduce risk and make sure we know exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and to make everyone more conscious of risk as they're developing new projects, new programs, and not make risk sort of an afterthought. You know, try and retrofit that thought or that worry back into a project or a plan.
In addition to the Enterprise Risk Project, you have a number of other projects on the horizon, and you discussed prioritization and how you decide which ones you want to take on, given the resources that you have. What was that discussion like? How did you explain those priorities and the way you go about them to the board?
Well, we developed a prioritization tool that looks at a couple different criteria. The first one is mandatory. Did Congress say we had to do something? Yes, no. That obviously is a big trigger right there. Is the project mitigating risk? Getting back to our just discussion, is it supporting a strategic goal? And it better be, because we shouldn't be doing anything that isn't supporting a strategic goal. But is it one of our goals, two of our goals, three or more? What is the impact to the agencies? And then what is the priority to the person, the organization trying to get whatever it is done, how important it is to IT, how important it is to communications, and then does it improve customer service? And so we have a weighting and a scoring mechanism to try and put things in a priority order so that we would be able to say, okay, this is where we need to make sure we have the resources to get things done. And a big good example there is the L Fund default. That is something that Congress just passed in December. We have 9 months to implement it, and so that was, you know, to the top of the chart with a bullet, because that's something that we absolutely have to get done. And what we want to get better at is being able to say no to things, to say, all right, here's what we have on our desks right now. Here's what we've committed resources to. And so the next idea may be a great idea, but we either have to wait or we have to bump something else. And I think that's something, based on my time at other agencies, everyone struggles with that, because you always want to move on to the next great thing, and you just can't put all that on employees.
How do you expect to go about doing that? That's a hard trick for people to learn.
It is a very hard trick, and I'm not going to be saying that we're expert at it, but that's why we really spent a lot of time on the prioritization tool, because if we got those measurements right, that helps us, because if it comes out that it's a low-scoring project, then I think it'll be easier to say no to that. If, however, it turns out to be a hard, high-scoring project, trying to figure out whether or not we have the resources to move forward or what to bump is going to be a trick, because especially if something's three-quarters of the way done, it would be most of the time silly to stop that at that point. So I don't think I've got the answer, but I think being aware of it is the first step.
One final bit of information coming out of yesterday's monthly board meeting, Kim, and it's good news for the participants. The annual expense ratio is as good as it's ever been, huh?
Well, yeah, it is 0.0285, or it's 2.85 basis points, which means that the net expenses charged to each TSP account was roughly 29 cents per thousand of investment.
And that's a terrific comparison. We talk about the comparison to the private sector all the time. And I dug up this fun fact before we got on the phone, Kim. In 2013, the Investment Company Institute, a trade organization, said the average equity fund expense ratio was 74 basis points. So you are 1/38th, no, that's not right. My math is terrible, but a whole lot cheaper than private sector commercial funds.
We are indeed. And we've had these conversations before about people needing to be aware of that when they make decisions to roll their money out. Again, there are any number of reasons why you might want to do that, but you need to be aware that fees really do add up. And if you do just a Google search on the impact of fees on your investments, you'll see that fees can really diminish your returns. And people should just be aware of that. Again, not that it's the absolute reason not to roll their money out, but make an informed choice.
So I'm going to sound like one of those guys on the late night commercials. How do you keep your prices so low?
We do it because we have a very simple and small lineup. We use only passive index funds, passively managed index funds, and we have economies of scale. We have 4.7 million participants, and we have $440 billion invested. All of those add up.
Fortunately, you never have to worry about absolutely everything must go, though, right?